So I wonder today, when I say the word comeback, what you might be thinking of. You might be thinking, I think quite regularly for us, when we think of comebacks, we think of sporting comebacks. A team that was well behind, then scores a lot of points and ends up winning the game. You might think of a comeback in terms of a clever retort or a one-liner. You're in a conversation with someone and you give a comeback to something that they've said. But we also think of comebacks, I think, in other ways too. Sometimes we might know of someone who is at the top of their game, whether it's wealth, power, whatever it might be, great in business or a great actor or musician or something. And then for some reason, even though they're at the top, they then lose that position and they end up hitting the bottom and then they become the underdogs. And then we see them rise up again to becoming the top. And we see, and we often call that a great comeback as well. And I want us today to be thinking about comebacks and underdogs, because when I come to Joshua chapter 8, I think Joshua might be feeling a bit this way. I think now he might be feeling a bit like an underdog and he is desperate for a comeback. We didn't cover, last week we looked at chapter 5 and leading into chapter 6, where we looked at how God called the people to take on their first big city battle, the city of Jericho. And as we looked at, we realized that, you know, God gave them some very strange orders. They were to walk around the city and then on the seventh day, jump up and down, blow their horns, and the walls would come down. It was not a standard military strategy. And God did that for a reason. God wanted his people to realize, he wanted the people in the land of Canaan to realize, which is the promised land where they are, and all the other nations around, that this wasn't Israel's victory, it was God's victory. And as we go on through chapter 6, they fulfilled God's word. And it showed that God gave victory. Now, what God said to them was that when you take the city, there are certain things that you are to dedicate to me. There are certain things that you are to destroy, and you are to destroy the people. We see that battle come to an end. We then move on to chapter 7. As we move on to chapter 7, Joshua and the people come to the town of Ai, which is about 20 kilometers from Jericho. Joshua sends spies into the town. He sees that the defenses are weak. He knows that the Israelites, they've just taken the huge city of Jericho. He believes that Israel will just crush this little town of Ai. And so he decides to attack it. They go in thinking they're going to have an easy victory. But what happens is that they run for their lives. The little town of Ai and the people who are there fight back and cause Israel to flee in terror. And chapter 7 records that 36 Israelites died. At this stage, if you're Joshua and the army, you're going to be thinking, we just took this big city of Jericho. We just lost. We had God with us giving us this great battle. We decided to fight Ai ourselves and we just lost this battle. Where's God? You know, they've gone to be from being champions now to being crushed and defeated by this little town. They were now underdogs. Where was God in this? Why didn't they get victory? Well, in chapter 7, we find out why. The reason why they failed was because of sin. Achan, one of the Israelites, he had taken some of the things to be dedicated to God and kept them for himself. And in chapter 7, we read about the punishment. He, his whole family, all the animals that he had, every possession that he had, was destroyed. They lost because of sin. Now, the small town of Ai is still there as we come to chapter 8. What happens now? See, they had fought Ai and lost. They're wondering the question, is God with us? Will God be with us again? Where's God? We're now, instead of being the champions going into this battle, we're the underdogs. Can we have a comeback? Will God be on their side once again? That's where we come to as we hit chapter 8. Now, reflect on as we look at the battles they faced. And we touched a bit on this last week where we came and thought about the Battle of Jericho. What battles are we going through? Now, some of it might be physical battles, illness, the death of a loved one. Maybe work's not going so great for you and you're trying to think, well, where's God going to lead you into the future? Maybe it's struggling to pay bills. Maybe it's not a physical battle. Maybe it's a spiritual battle. Now, maybe you're finding it hard to come to church and meet with your fellow Christian brothers and sisters. Or maybe you can't actually remember the last time you opened God's word for yourself outside of hearing it on a Sunday. Or maybe you can't remember the last time you actually sat down and prayed. So you're having the spiritual battles, not just the physical battles. And I wonder at times when those are going on in our life, whether we have the same questions that Joshua has. Now, where is God in our battles? Is God actually with us? You know, he felt after the battle on the loss to Ai the first time, where is God? And maybe you feel that same way in your battle. Maybe you're thinking, what now in life? Where's God going to lead you? What's God doing in your life? Maybe you're thinking, well, I'm an underdog. And do I have to go through the rest of life as an underdog? Or is there something else? See, I think in a real sense, even though it's many years later, we're right there with God's people, still facing Ai in front of us, thinking we're underdogs, wondering where's God in all of this, and what's going to happen. Well, let's look at chapter 8. Because one of the things we've first learned is that God gives second chances and God forgives sin. Let me read to you the last part of chapter 7 into chapter 8. Over Achan, they heaped up a large pile of rocks, which remains to this day. Then the Lord turned from his fierce anger. Therefore, that place has been called the Valley of Achor ever since. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." God turns away from his anger. He's dealt his anger. We had the sin of Achan that led to their loss against the town of Ai. Achan, his family, his animals, all of that punished, destroyed. God's anger poured out on them because of their sin. But now God says that has been dealt with. The people have come and asked for forgiveness. And I give second chances. See, one of the lovely things about God is that failure is not final for God. I think we all realize in our lives, even for those of us who love and follow Jesus, we still sin. We still fail God, sometimes on a daily basis. But the great thing is he still forgives. He still gives second, thirds, umpteen number of chances. Will God be on their side in the battle coming up? Yes. But the same message that God has given right from the very beginning of the Bible, that God will be on their side if they worship him and do things his way. Remember the Battle of Ai? They did things their way. The Battle of Jericho? They did it God's way. They won. Battle of Ai the first time, they did it their way and lost. The rest of verse 1 says this, "Take the whole army with you, go up and attack Ai, for I have delivered into your hands the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land." God has a plan. And as Liz read that out earlier, we get to see the plan that he had about having an ambush and attacking and leading the people out and then attacking the city from behind. The immediate question is, will God's people follow that plan? Well, as we look through the rest of chapter 8, we find that they do follow the plan. And God gives them a great victory. See, God is willing to forgive. God is willing to give second chances. But God also deals with sin. Let me read to you some verses later in chapter 8. When Israel had finished killing all the men in Ai in the fields and in the desert where they had chased them, when every one of them had been put to the sword, all the Israelites returned to Ai and killed those who were in it. 12,000 men and women fell that day, all the people of Ai. I don't know about you, but you can read something like that and think, you know, God is really severe in his judgment. And more than 12,000 people were put to the sword. In chapter 7, because of Achan's sin, his whole family, animals, everything were destroyed by God in God's judgment. It looks like it is severe. And maybe reading parts of scripture like that make you feel uncomfortable. You know, I've had people say to me, Stephen, over time, you know, the God of the Old Testament, he's a God of judgment and God of wrath. But then we get to the New Testament. Yeah, we get the good God. Yeah, we get Jesus. We get Jesus who loves us, who dies for us. That's the good God. We have two different gods in the Bible. But it's not true. See, in both cases, in chapter 7 and in chapter 8, when God deals with the sin of his people or the sin of Ai, he deals with the sin. He punishes sin because God cannot stand sin, whether it's in his own people or in the other nations. And he deals with it severely because he wants his own people to see how serious sin is. He deals with it seriously because he wants the other nations, he wants the other people in the land of Canaan to see that sin is serious and God will deal with it. See, yes, God is a God who forgives. Yes, God is a God who gives second chances, but he deals with sin. Now, when we think about, is there two different gods, God of the Old and God of the New Testaments? No, because we have a God, it's two sides of the one coin. Because he loves us and because he can't put up with sin, he judges. We see his punishment, we see his wrath. We see the greatest example of that is because he loves us and he knows we face wrath, that's why Jesus came. So that Jesus took the punishment and judgment that we deserve, so we don't have to face God's wrath anymore if we love and follow him. Two sides of the one coin. But we might still think, I feel really uncomfortable, Stephen, with these verses. Over 12,000 people in the city of Ai died. Well, back in Genesis 15, when God was talking about that they were going to be given the land of Canaan, God said that the people there were cruel and evil. And if they turned to God, they would be okay. But if not, they would be judged. Historians tell us that the people of Ai were involved in child sacrifice and lots of other things. If you wanted to find an evil people within the land of Canaan, it was probably the people of Ai. God gave them an opportunity. They'd already seen the fall of Jericho. They'd already seen the power of God. They could have turned to God. They could have turned away from their sin. They could have asked for forgiveness, but they didn't. God's judgment for their sin has now come. See, in this case, Israel's forgiven, Ai are judged. One group is pardoned, one group is punished by the same God. There's no contradiction. Right from the very beginning, the message of the Bible is clear. Now, God offers forgiveness, but if you reject that, then you face God's wrath. God's people asked for forgiveness. They were pardoned. The people of Ai didn't and faced his wrath. But it's one of the great challenges of being human. See, one of the great challenges of being human, one of the hard things about it is God gives us free will. God gives us the opportunity to choose. See, God doesn't want robots. God wants people to love him. And so he gives us the choice. Will you love and follow him, or will you not? And if the answer is no, then you face his judgment and wrath. But God lets us choose. Yeah, later in chapter 8, what we see is a very strange picture in the final verses. Joshua does something that he saw Moses do when he first committed the people to God. He takes them into the Valley of Shechem. And on one side of the Valley of Shechem, you've got Mount Ebal, and it's a very rocky, barren place. And Joshua says, I want you to imagine that that rocky place, Mount Ebal, that is the mountain of cursing. He says, half the people, I want you to stand there at the base of that mountain. On the other side of the Valley of Shechem, you've got Mount Gerizim, a beautiful, lush mountain. And Joshua says, half the people, I want you to stand on that side. I want you to imagine that that is the mountain of blessing. Joshua then stands in the middle of the valley in between the people and reads out all the words that Moses had recorded. And then he says to the people, it's time to choose. Are you going to choose cursing or are you going to choose blessing? Are you going to choose to listen and follow God or are you not? So what would the people choose? See, it's a picture of choice. Blessing or curse, blessing following God, curse turning away from God. As we read through the rest of Joshua and they go into the promised land, more of it, how will they respond? As we go through the Old Testament, how will God's people respond? Because that same picture, in a way, is the same story throughout the whole of the Bible. Now, there's only two ways to live, on God's side or not. Symbolically, the mountain of cursing, the mountain of blessing. Which one will they choose? Because it's our choice. Today, which one is our choice? So when we come to chapter 8, when we come to facing Ai here, I think Joshua, he felt like he was the underdog. They'd just been beaten by this town. He needed a comeback. Felt like the underdog, needed a comeback. But what he realizes here though, is that when he listens to God, he's not an underdog at all. See, if you're on God's side, you're not an underdog. Because God always knows, and God always has a plan. And if you're on God's side, you are always blessed. See, chapter 8, following on from chapter 7, reminds us very starkly is that God judges sin. He judged Achan for his sin. He judged Ai for his sin. But he offers forgiveness. And he offers second, third, fourth chances to people. But it's a choice we have to make. We have to come to God and to confess our sins. We need to come to God and confess and ask for repentance. And you might say to me, well, Stephen, God knows all. He knows all my sin. Why do I have to confess? Well, that's a good question. But I think part of it is, it's part of us being accountable. It's a part of us realizing we're the creature, he's the creator. Yes, he knows all, but we've chosen to do wrong. And even though he knows about it, we need to come and ask for forgiveness. And the great news is he does. He gives more than just second chances. So I wonder today, have you made the choice to put God first in your life? And if the answer is no, what's getting in the way of that? I wonder today, maybe for some of us, we actually need a comeback like Joshua. But we need a spiritual comeback. Maybe we've been walking away from God for a while. Maybe we've spiritually been, in a sense, feeling dry, you know, or tired. We're not reading God's word. We're not praying. We struggle to gather together to meet or whatever it might be? Do we need to have a comeback and recommit ourselves to God today? See, I think, as I shared earlier, at times we face totally different style of battles, but we do face battles like God's people did. And I think at times we need to remember, when we look at these, where God gives his people victories here, this is a message of hope. God turns defeat into victory. And God can turn defeat in our lives into victory as well. He did it at Ai. He did it at Calvary. He still does it today. Now, he takes our weaknesses, he takes our defeats, and he can do amazing things with them. What will we let God do in our lives, even in the midst of our battles? Now, was God on their side even though they lost their first battle? Yes. Was God on their side when they went into the second battle? Yes. Is God on our side when we have doubts and questions about him and maybe we feel a bit spiritually dry? Yes. As we go through life, if we love and follow God, are we underdogs? No. Because we're never underdogs when we serve and love and follow God. God takes our weaknesses. He takes our losses. And he can do great things with them. Will we let him? As we close this morning, I want to share a cute little story I heard during the week, which I just think really connects with what we're looking at today. It's about a young lad who sadly had to have his left arm amputated. And he always, up until this stage, had wanted to learn martial arts. And so he went along to learn judo. And he had a great sensei teacher that was taking him through learning judo. And he was very confused because the man only taught him one move. And he said, "I want to learn more." And he said, no, I want you to master this one move. And then finally, after a year or so, he went in his first tournament. Okay, a one-armed young lad at age of 11, taking on people who are much bigger than him, much stronger, able-bodied, two arms and everything. And he won through the initial rounds until he got to the final. And when he got to the final, he met a very large lad, very strong, very powerful. So it was very obvious that this young one-armed lad was the underdog going into this battle. The battle went on for quite a while. And then finally, the really strong boy made one slight mistake. And the one-armed lad won. He was so happy. His sensei was so happy for him. But on the way home, he said, "How could I only win with one move? Why have you only taught me in over 12 months just one move?" And the sensei said, "Well, it's easy. The move I taught you is one of the hardest moves in judo to learn. And if you master it, there is only one way you can defeat the move. Your opponent has to grab your left arm." But he didn't have a left arm, so they couldn't. So he was always going to be victorious if he could pull off the move. You know, sometimes when that young lad faced that guy, he was the underdog. Everyone there was certain the other guy would crush him. See, sometimes I think when I look at the world, even though we walk with God, sometimes the devil, the world, it's crushing. It might seem that they're the favorite. It might seem that at times they're winning. But we're never the underdog with God. And if you love and follow Jesus, even if we die, even if we suffer, even if we face battles every day until we die or Jesus returns, we will be victorious. With God, we never lose. My prayer today is that you are on God's side and you'll know and you leave this place knowing that you never lose. I just want to close with a verse from Lamentations chapter 3. It says this: "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion fails not." Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that your compassions fail not, that you're a God who gives second, third, fourths, lots of chances. You just want people to turn to you and ask for forgiveness. Father, I pray today that if we need to come to you to do that, that we do. That if we need to recommit ourselves, if we need to come back to you today, Lord, that through your Spirit you'll show us how to do that. So, Lord, when we leave this place today, may we go out into the world knowing that we're not underdogs. But when we're on your side, we will be victorious no matter what we face. And that should give us the confidence and the strength to go out and live for you. So, Father, help us to do that today, I pray, in your name. Amen.